everybody. Welcome to Growing Up Indigo on BBS Radio Station 1 with me, Adina. And it looks like summer's here to stay, but you never really know, do you? I mean, it looks that way, but it might just be a little premature to start packing up everything warm and putting it away, because I think just like everything else, weather especially does change. So what do you do? Do you keep all the spring, summer, winter, and fall items out all year long? No, not unless you have a changing closet bigger than my house. We usually watch the days and the nights change, and we follow the patterns of old, and we let last year's days and holidays of a season go by, along with the year's celebrations and tears. And then when the weather looks like it's here to stay, for good, like the last little tiny bit of it, that's when we start exchanging clothes. And it's safe, and it's easy, and hopefully by then, we're not going to have a snowstorm at the end of May. And I wish that was the way all of the things in our life changed, effortlessly and easily. Some like date on the calendar, everybody gets prepared, we have a party, we have pictures, and then we get someone else to put our clothes away. And as long as I'm in charge of this kind of little vision, I would like to add a new wardrobe and jewelry, like a lot of jewelry. I know. I have this thing. I know. So that's not how change usually barrels into our lives. And if we're initiating the change, it still doesn't mean that we're necessarily on or off the right path. Usually we think of ourselves, if we're initiating it, then it looks as if, yeah, they're right on. They're right on. They're changing. It doesn't actually mean it. I remember most of my life, I was the one who changed. I was the one who left. In fact, every year and a half, like clockwork, changed the boyfriend, changed the job, changed the boyfriend, changed the job. What was I doing? Nothing. I wasn't going anywhere. I was just changing, but in effect, doing the same exact thing. All it means is we want change, or we want to hide. And the way we hide is by changing. It also goes the same for someone who doesn't want change. It just means that change is hard for them. In fact, sometimes the person who initiates the change doesn't even do it for themselves. Sometimes they're doing it unconsciously to kick the other person into gear because they've become too complacent. Strangely enough, it's almost like how we sit in a theater or a chair a certain way and our foot falls asleep. Well, sometimes half our body falls asleep and we go into a kind of repetition. And for years, I mean, for months, repetition, repetition, repetition. Sometimes it's the only way we know how to get through things that we have to do, or things that we've promised to do, or things that we've committed to do. And after a while, it's not even a chore anymore. We start to like it. And of course, in order for us to have sat so long in that movie, we had to have been engrossed in it, right? We had to have liked it enough to sit there. We had to have liked it enough for our own body to stop sending blood to that part of the body, right? So it had to have been at least enjoyable. So it had to have been for our leg to fall under a sort of numbness. Imagine years of living in that quiet kind of slumber. It's not repeated behavior as much as it is comfortably numb. Ironically, I had a friend about, I think, 15 years ago who asked me the strangest question, but it's like the perfect question to ask me. I didn't even ask them, why would you ask me that question? I just had the answer right away. They said, if you could play a song when you were dying, what would it be? And I just immediately said, Comfortably Numb. And he was like, I know, my cousin said the same thing. But it's true, that's exactly what I would want to hear. And you know why? I think it's for those of us who have already felt too much pain. We just want Comfortably Numb. Thank you very much. I'd rather be that than anything else. So then comes back the North Node. That's what the North Node is for. It's what the North Node in all the houses is all about. And it will come up again and again to remind us that we have a path in this life. And it's to reach our North Node and move away from our South Node. Remember 2 weeks ago, our North Node is not just a sign, but it's a sign and a house that we are, that our North Node, where we're trying to reach. So, in other words, our North Node is where is our star. The North Node is the star we are trying to reach. It's the goal. It's the, if the sum of all our reincarnational lives, that's where we want to go. And that's where it comes in. So when we get comfortably numb, someone, we, circumstances, plunk us on the head and say, hey, you, wake up. The movie's over. Well, not exactly, but you know what I mean. That comfortably numb thing is over. We have to start moving again. So this time, we're going to do it through the houses. This is a little deeper than the signs. So because houses represent a chunk of our experience, and a sign is, it just tells us how we're going to express that. So I'm going to show you the best way of doing that, and that is by doing mine. So because we went 2 weeks ago through the sign, I'm going to add the sign mine is in and the house, and we're going to see how I'm doing so far, because as promised, I am going to start once again putting myself on the line out here and doing like that psychic surgery thing, and I'll tell you how I'm doing. So I don't know if everybody's had this done. If you've had your chart done, then you know that there are 12 slices in the pie and that there are 12 houses. And that's why people say that our sun sign is very little, really. It has very little to do with who we are, because it really does. We have all of the signs in us. They're just in different houses. And sometimes we have a lot of signs in one house. In other words, I'm not a Sagittarius, but in my seventh house of marriage and Mars and Mercury, which is, Mars is how we do things. It's action. It's Saturn is also in my seventh house in Sagittarius, which means my lessons have to do with my marriage. Mercury, which means how I think and how I speak, also have to do with my marriage and very close relationships. So that's a packed seventh house in Sagittarius. And I just found out today, I didn't know this because I was looking at the book that we're taking this from, that it was, when I was born, it was retrograde, I believe, or in opposition. I don't know, one of those. I think it was retrograde, right? That's not so good. So my challenge, not only is it my North Node, but no, it's not my North Node. Forget that. It's not. But it is my biggest challenge because it's retrograde. So all of those lessons are in my seventh house. So I think and feel and behave in many ways like a Sagittarian, although I am not at all. So so what happens is we have that North Node kick in, and we want to say all the time that we like to come from love in all situations, so change naturally would be the same. But as an oversoul, sure, looking downward, we would. But if you're the person down here who's forgotten your own path to greatness, and I say greatness because it's always something great for us, relatively speaking, we're not always going to love the change bringer. There are many ways that you might want to do it instead. And that's why we now have at least 5 channels devoted to trials, murders, cold cases, both on cable and network. Apparently, not all of us like change that much. So I had a discussion with someone I'm very close to just the other day. And like, this person is the last person I would hesitate to call with my feelings. So I called and she responded like I was being interrogated for anti-American propaganda in the Cold War. Like, I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? And she was not giving me any space. There was like no room for any emotional feeling on my part. And I realized that was really what I needed to hear. And then I spoke to somebody else today. They said the same thing. And I couldn't believe it. And I'm thinking to myself, here I am. I sit here all the time with such, you know, ease, and I listen and for hours, and, you know, I call up, you know, expecting the same thing. Mm-mm, don't expect. So I just want to start by saying that because we're doing this today, and because I'm not going to be doing any of the free readings by email, if you do want a free reading, please call in at 888-627-6008, and I will give you a free reading, absolutely. I'm just not going to be doing them through the email the way I normally do. So again, if you want a reading, please call at 888-627-6008. In other news, I also want to say that today, after the show, Charlene Reeves will be having her debut here after this show. And she's incredibly spiritual, and I think you're going to love her show. So stay tuned for that. Okay, so we are going to start, and I am going to go right to my particular house. So because I think I know it a little better, I'll be able to explain it a little better. So, oh my God, I swear, this is amazing. This book is not like, it's not like it's dog-eared and anything like that. I read it, you know, once. No, I read it about 10 times, but this was 30 years ago. So, no, actually, neither, because this was the new book I had to get. Anyway, I just opened it up to my page. Wow, that is heavy. Okay, so my 6th house is the North Node. My 12th house is the South Node. And to make it more in-depth, my 6th house is in Scorpio. My 12th house is in Taurus. They're opposites. So if you remember anything, which I don't imagine anybody would, Scorpio is the 6th house. Scorpio is transformation. Scorpio is going deeper. Scorpio is a very mysterious sign that digs for the truth. Now, Taurus, I don't want to say it's the opposite, that it's superficial, because it isn't. But Taurus loves nice things. Taurians love being comfortable. Comfortable. Comfortably numb. Makes sense. Taurus love sensual things. They love to be surrounded by silk and fabric and jewelry. They love to eat. They love to eat, drink. I always picture, whenever I think of my South Node, I picture myself thinking of me in some kind of old. I always picture myself in the Roman times as a queen eating grapes and something like that. So that is what I'm moving away from. And I'm moving toward sparsity, And I will get into what the houses mean in as soon as we take our first caller of the day. And I have Kara on line one. Kara, hi.
Hi, Adina.
Hi, Kara. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm okay. How can I help you today?
So what do we always call in about? I have an acquaintance who's becoming a friend, and I just recently let him know that I was interested in him. Mm-hmm. And he's been dating somebody else, and I let him know that I wasn't interested in him if he's still dating that person. Mm-hmm. And I figured, let me just put my cards on the table and let him know. And I'm just wondering if there's going to be any movement or what's going to happen there.
Sure. Carol, could I have his first initial or his name?
Ken.
Okay. I'm going to tell you everything I get on him. Okay?
Okay.
All right, yes. Everybody. Let's go see what's going on with him. I am going to specifically ask for Kara and see how he feels about her. Of course, I'm probably going to get everything, which is what usually happens. But that's even better because I'll be able to see what's going on in the bigger picture. Okay. All right, here we go. Okay. The first thing I want to say is that he's pretty deep. He's right now trying to figure out what he wants. He's someone who is self-directed. In other words, he has learned how to get what he wants with patience and with a kind of, I think what I'm saying is he is incredibly persistent, but in a good way. He's made peace with, I think, a lot of things and people in his life. I also think there's something going on with work that he's not happy with. I'm not sure what that has to do with anything yet. But hold on. Okay. One of the things I do get is that he feels now is not an opportune time. He is saying that he intends to start over in terms of, it looks to me like a job or money. And he does have to get out of a situation that he considers to be. Now, I know you said to him, you said that he's in something that you told him you would be interested in moving ahead if he were to get out of that. So what I see with him is that he's unhappy in that particular situation. However, to him, it has become something that is, I think, very structured, and he wants to leave it. So that, I believe, is something he wants to do. However, his money and his lifeline is tied up in that. Is that correct?
I don't know that the money or lifeline is tied up in the dating situation. I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. I know what you said about I think there is some unhappiness with the job, but I think that's separate from the dating relationship.
Okay. Good. Okay. Either way, I do know that it's happening in the same time frame, that he's unhappy with the job, that he doesn't right now. He wants to get a new one. He also wants to get out of the dating situation. So what he's saying to me is that he wants to start new on both fronts. However, he has debt and he's paying off that debt. He also feels that he needs time to kind of recover. He needs time to, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's very interested. Very. Very. Yes. Very, okay. Very. He loves talking to you. He finds you interesting, interested about him. He's interested about you. He thinks you're bright. And that's something that he loves. Who's younger? One of you is younger than the other. I don't know which one.
Younger.
Go ahead. Okay.
Just a year. I'm a younger by.
It feels like somebody's much younger because I get the feeling that he feels this sense of someone is almost like, I don't want to say adoring because that sounds kind of slavish, you know, but one of you is like, hey, I don't want to say that either. Let me rephrase this. He's telling me that one of you is like, oh, tell me more kind of thing. Like, I just want to be with you. I don't want anything from you. I just want to be with you. You're fantastic. You're great. So one of you has that kind of energy. And he likes that.
Okay, it's probably me.
Okay. He is... Hold on a second. Yeah. He has a lot of responsibility and hang on just a minute. That dating situation, do they live together?
Yeah.
I get a home and I get him very confused about what to do. I get him thinking that there could be some issue there. But he is interested, and now I'm going to find out if he's going to end that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just for Kara. Uh-huh. Okay. Will he end that? Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. What he will do is, yes, he will. What's going to happen, I'll just let you know, is that this is not going to be a pretty kind of thing. I don't necessarily believe that you will be affected by it, but he will. I believe that this person will be quite angry, quite vindictive possibly. And I don't know what to say other than this is what he wants.
Well, any advice for me?
Any advice for you?
In terms of stay away from him for a while?
Well, I think he's going to do that for a while. What I would like you to do is keep yourself as objective as possible. And as, I don't want to say aloof, because that's not really what I want you to do. What I want you to do is continue with your life the way it is now. Do the things you're doing. Continue making yourself happy. Continue going along the lines you have been. The work that you've put in for yourself right now and in the last few months has been amazing. And it's gotten you to a place where you never thought you'd be a few months ago. And I don't want you to stop doing that. That's very important. And if you, especially now, because the energy that could come into your life would be almost mirroring the energy that just left your life. Do you understand?
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay.
Thank you.
So
thank
don't
you so much.
Let that in. Don't let that in. Just do what you're doing and let him work on what he has to work on, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, Kara. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, everybody. So, going back to our North Node, I want to say that the one I'm doing is for me, and the sixth house is of health, work. Yeah, health and work. I think that's the big things about the sixth. And the 12th is strange. The 12th house is institutions. And it is in confinement, it's psychiatric, it's mad, you know, like it's people who were mentally ill. And I did express that I hadn't gotten to this part yet, but I had expressed that the very man whose book we're doing this by, Martin Shulman, had done my chart via tape many, 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 many years ago. And he had said that because of this particular node, the north, my north being, I mean, my south being the 12th house node, I would never remember my my past incarnations because it had been shut. The door had been closed and I wasn't supposed to remember it. Actually, it did. I did remember them. I remembered several of them because I would not give up. But I can understand why I didn't, because they were very difficult, very, very, very difficult lives. So here we go. I'll just remind you again, my north node is in Scorpio. So Scorpio is health and it's work. Here is, I want to say something very obvious. Scorpio digs for the truth. Scorpio's like a detective. Scorpio's deep. Scorpio's mysterious. Scorpio is illusion. What do I do? Hello. Really, what do I do? I'm a psychic medium. Now, if you look at the rest of my chart, there's no way you'd get psychic medium out of it. No way. I have a lot of earth. I have a lot of air. But this is where it comes across. That makes sense. So what they say is, this individual spends most of his time in deep thought. He likes to be left alone so that, uninterrupted by others, he can let his inner reflections sift through his karmic memories of all his past incarnations. This is not to say that he doesn't like company or that he's even aware of what he's doing. The fact is that he's so deep as to become totally oblivious to anything he's thinking about. He loses himself in himself. How true. Always the conscious reason for going inward is based on logical intention, but the individual tends to reach the point where all logic eludes him. The Neptunian subtlety of the depths he reaches remains a mystery even to him. And, excuse me, one of the greatest problems that this person has is that they become so deep that they allow no one to get in and help them to get out. And that is so, so true. Still, the basis of this person's outward life is built on fear and imagination. Regardless of how strong the rest of the chart is, they cannot find any confidence in themselves because of all their past lives of being persecuted. And they're constantly like a turtle peeping out of their shell. The people close to him see him as his life, as a tendency to avoid all that seems real. And I can definitely understand that. And anyone who knows me would say that too. In areas of work, he's usually a poor organizer. And you know what? That was always the exact opposite of who I was up until about 3 years ago. I was always on time, ahead of time, organized. I couldn't believe it. I was so organized that I couldn't understand why anybody wasn't. I couldn't understand why people were late. All of a sudden, about 3 years ago, I changed. And I became the exact opposite of who I was. The karmic lesson for this person is to learn responsibility instead of feeling sorry for all the woes that beset him. More than any other house in the zodiac, he cries at the slightest hurt, either real or imagined. True. Sometimes the crying is inward, but always it is there. For on the very deepest levels, he feels that the love he has to give goes unnoticed and unappreciated. Because he thinks this way, he becomes his own creator of gloom. Underneath all else, he is a bottomless well of fretting. Hey, wait a second. Maybe because they say he, it doesn't mean females? Do you think that works? No. With not enough deep faith in the positive outcome of events, He must work on building trust so that he can have the strength to come out of his shell. Hold on just a moment, please. We're going to take a quick break. I'll be right back. You're listening to BBS Station 1. Everybody, you're back with BBS Growing Up Indigo with Adina, and we're continuing with our North Node being in the sixth house. So underneath all else, he is a bottomless well of fretting with not enough deep faith in the positive outcome of events. And once he can come out of his shell, he is one of the most compassionate, beautiful, and useful people in the zodiac. His sixth house North Node gives him great pleasure in helping others, but he cannot do this well until he realizes and accepts the fact that in this incarnation, he has chosen a life of sacrifice. Now, this was really important for me because that I couldn't understand why, I mean, I already was sacrificing. What could I possibly have been doing? And it says that he must learn how to organize his thoughts, because he is capable of being a natural-born healer, defying the limits of practical medicine with his own more mystical methods of curing. And I wanted to say that I had a reading when I had cancer. And I had been given the name of someone who was an aura reader. She still is. And I went to her and she said, "Your aura is aqua." And I said, "Oh, okay. What does that mean?" And she said, "I've never seen anyone with an aqua aura. Usually it's blue or green." And she said, "Yours means that you are literally a healer teacher." And I said, okay. And she said that spirit told her that she was to work with me and that I would be a teacher healer and that that was my job in this life. And I thought that was interesting. And she said that I would eventually, now this is very, very interesting. Somebody else told me this. A lot of people have told me certain things too, but she told me that I was going to end up being, oh my God, I have to tell this to somebody else, that I was going to end up being an advocate for children who needed healing. And somebody else is telling me that right now. Anyway, ultimately, he will come to learn that his greatest gift is faith. But he will work long and hard to reach that awareness. Part of the current life will be spent nurturing or coping with physical or mental illness, either in himself or others close to him. His major growth occurs when he realizes that all illness is no more than a disharmony in the body reflecting disharmony in thought. Something inside himself is constantly trying to tell him this. And he must learn not to allow his past life fears to block what is now being opened for him. Yes, 100%. In every avenue. Of course, I was sick with cancer. I had many other issues as well. My younger sister died as an out an outgrowth of mental illness. It is, mental illness is, was rife in both sides of my family. Many with these nodes go through experiences of illnesses that miraculously disappear to the amazement of medical doctors, dentists, and other professional practitioners. The karmic lesson here is to learn the higher reasons why. For as soon as understanding is reached, the newborn faith starts to heal. Once he becomes aware of the power of his faith, he becomes a veritable dynamo. His outlook on life remains clinical, scrutinizing and diagnosing all he comes in contact with. Very true. Of all the nodal positions, this is the most difficult one to open up to past incarnations. The 12th house south node has completed a karmic path, the details of which are to remain forever sealed in past times, even though the subtle Akashic essence still remains. Lifetimes of escaping inner torment have been completed. The individual must come to realize that most of his inner negativity is not related to the current life, but only exists through his continuing to think along a track that has already ended. I tend to disagree. I disagree because I came in here with plenty of stuff that was here. It was still here. So I really don't think that's quite true. What I do believe is true is that in this life, I was given all of the talents, all of the abilities to get past it. And in other lives, I was not. Because I clearly remember a few of the other lives of torment where I couldn't. I had no recourse. I had no way of getting out of them. But in this life, I do. And in this life, rather than using them in many instances, I fell back on my south node and tried to just do what was comfortable. And it doesn't work. And I think that's very true. He still has inner feelings of being persecuted, which he must learn to bury once and for all. For the more he allows himself to dwell in such thoughts, the more he will inadvertently recreate the circumstances. Mm-hmm. He should learn to realize the past for exactly what it is, no more than a memory and no more real than a photograph in his mind, which he now has the free choice of holding on to for the sake of its misery or discarding so that he may step out into a productive new world. And just as I've said before, there are times when I think of my previous suicide attempt as literally being a past life. I can barely sometimes remember that it was me, and I know it was me, but when I close my eyes and think of me doing that, I visualize it as, I know it was me, but it feels like it was me in another life. That's how vague and dreamy it was, and it was me. I've also had lives where I'm me. I've walked down the stairs into the living room, sat down on my couch. This was only 2-3 years ago. I sat down on my couch, and the next thing I knew, I was literally in, I was in an alternate life. I had been someone else, and I had been somebody else in the 80s. And I was living that life. I was stuck there for about 10 minutes. And then I realized, wait a minute. No, that's not who I am. I didn't live that life. What are you doing? So honestly, it all falls under the same heading. These are channels. These are energy vibrations that we can tune in and out of at will. I don't have to stay here, and neither does anybody else. Once he can put his entire state of consciousness into a positive and productive outlook on life, he will be able to start experiencing a new meaning to his existence. The sign which contains the South Node shows the ways in which the individual blocks his current life advancement by withdrawing into karma he's already completed. Well, what would that be? I guess the 12th house. Mental illness, confinement, psychology, liking nice things, liking to be comfortable, liking my senses to be dulled, right? Yeah. Jewelry. Oh, come on. Don't make me give that up. What else? I guess that's a lot of it. I wouldn't say analyzing, because I think that's more of a Scorpio's job. But what should I do? The sign which contains the North Node indicates the ways in which he can now develop a fruitful life through service. Easy. Work. Work is a big part of my life. Huge part of my life. Health is the sixth house. Ask me how I'm doing on health. Not good, Bob. That's just taken from Mad Men. I had to say that. So, I just had to say that. Not good, Bob. So, not that good. I should be doing much better. And that, my friends, comes from my South Node of Taurus that is just lazy. And I like to just sloth around. So, I don't really stick to health regimens. I go through spurts back and forth. And if I were to get on a really good health regimen, I would be so much the better for it. One of the things that I just realized very recently was that when I said to myself all these years, I'm not asking for much. What do you mean by saying that that this life is meant for sacrifice? What am I asking for? I'm not asking for riches. I'm not asking for everything. Hardly, hardly. And then I realized that I have fought a battle in myself for so many years, so many. And I'm outing this for the first time in ever. The first outing of myself was that I was a medium and I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to. I don't know why. I just didn't want to. And the second part is right now. For years and years, I was offered opportunities to do things way before they were ever being done. And I thought, are you kidding? Never, never. I would never want to do this. I would never want to do that. Back when I started, the internet was very open and I got in on the ground floor, really, and it was open. The field was opened, and I was asked to do a lot of things that had not previously been done. And I said no, and I said no because I was raising a son, and I didn't think he'd do well, and because I was healing, not just from cancer, but also from, you know, the death of my younger sister. And I just didn't want to, but mostly because I'm a hermit. That's why. And because I didn't think I would do well. I just didn't think so. And now I understand exactly what they're saying. A life of service means this. It's not about what I wanted privately. I was being given those opportunities because I was here to service. I was here to help people. And I turned it down. And I just wanted to live a quiet life. And I still do. I still do. And I think that's exactly what they're talking about. And I think that's what they mean when they say, I peek out of my shell. Every once in a while I do, and then I go right back in. I have never wanted to be the frontman. I've wanted to be the one behind the scenes, very quiet, little life, and I just think they keep throwing these things at me so I would not. And I kept saying no. So I understand it. So now I understand exactly what they wanted me to do. Doesn't mean I will or I won't. It just means I understand it. I am now going to go back to the nodes in the houses. And we're going to start with the first one. So the first one is going to be the first house. And we're getting out of the, let's see, here we're, here it goes. The nodes in, we're still not in the houses. The nodes in the signs. Oh my God. Okay, here we go. The first house of the north node and the seventh house is the south node. So the first house is the north node. So in this life, someone is going toward the first house. So we would expect the first house is the house of the self. It's getting, it's learning about yourself, how to project yourself, how others see you, getting a sense of yourself, your ego. The seventh house is the opposite. It's merging with another person. It's marriage. It's partnerships. It's very strong friendships. So in this house, in this node, the individual is here to go through experiences which challenge the self, because in former incarnations, he fell into the trap of depending on undependable people. He spent too much time trying to help other people understand themselves, and he never stopped to reflect on how the same situations played an important role in his identity. So as a result of putting the accent outside of the self, it now becomes difficult for him to see who he really is. So he's being challenged to understand himself now. These nodes indicate past incarnations in which the individual submerged his identity in the affairs of others, marriage and partnerships, or so deeply rooted in his way of doing things that his quest of self is constantly viewed through other people's eyes. He doesn't know who he is unless somebody says, I see you like this, or, yeah, to me you're this. He therefore allows their thoughts and opinions of him to influence his own sense of identity. Ultimately, he has to come out of the bondage of trying to be all things to all people, and he has to become what he wants to become to himself. His soul memories of cooperation and teamwork are so strong that every time he falls back on them, he actually continues to extinguish himself in the causes of others. His first house north node now brings him to the awareness that somehow he has lost his identity, submerged in the desire to please. He has made himself a reflection of an ideal, the opposite to his own basic nature. Why? Because the first house north node is opposite his south. So what he keeps falling back on is opposite of what he's trying to really reach. So what he's trying to do is ultimately learn how to gracefully assume the role of leadership. It's extremely difficult for this person because he's had so much life experience in being submissive. He sacrificed himself so much for others so that they could achieve their goals. And he's been so docile. So now the highest level of potential is to establish a self without shutting off the benefits of marriage and partnership. That's really tough because we're not only asking this person to, you know, find out who they are, we're also asking them, find out who you are, find out how to be a leader, and manage to have a balanced relationship. That's pretty hard. Also, What we don't know either is how long do we spend in a North Node incarnation? In other words, I don't know that we spend one life in like your first house North Node. How do you know you just get it in that one life North Node? This could be that person's first life trying in that North Node. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm sure you need more than just one. So all of his personal experiences revolve around being there docile. So he becomes aware of all he has sacrificed through a South Node. And then he becomes an extremist, feeling that one state of existence inhibits the other. He starts focusing every part of the life energy around the desire to lead rather than to be led, through an instinctive knowledge that his Achilles heel, or weak spot, is in the ways that he can allow himself to be put into the position of being taken advantage of in marriage. He develops a tendency to become too overassertive. He tries too hard to make up for what he feels he's lost. So then he goes, obviously, on a rampage in his marriage and starts to become too aggressive. And then it says the sign which contains the South Node indicates the ways in which the individual during former incarnations submerged himself in others. And then the sign which contains the North Node shows the ways in which he can now establish his own sense of identity. So let's think of this and how we can put that to use. So Someone's first house is in, what could we say? Okay, the natural ruler of the first house is Aries, right? The South Node would be Libra, which would be the perfect houses because that's where they're comfortable. That's where they actually belong. So somebody is leaning toward being an Aries first. I mean, an Aries North Node, right? So in order to be an Aries North Node, you're going to be me, 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 me first, me first, me first, me first, right? And your South Node is so used to being, oh, whatever you want to do, honey. Sure. No, 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 I don't care, really. No, it's okay. I don't know. I don't know. You decide. It's okay. So that's what they're used to doing. But as they reach that North Node of me, me, and me, they're going to start to get like, yeah, well, you know what? It's not about you. It's about me. It's about me. So what they have to start to do is recognize, wait a minute, this is wreaking havoc in my marriage or in my deep relationships. What can I do to make this a little better? Basically, what you can do is don't be so selfish, buddy. You know, just say it's about a balance and that you can still be a leader and still be enthusiastic and still have someone look up to you by encouraging others. And that's what Aries do best too, by the way. They encourage others. They are infectious with their excitement and their enthusiasm. And when they do that and they bring you along, forget it. They're amazing. And another thing about Aries are the friendships they have. They have tremendous friendships. They love their friends. They're super loyal. And if they do that, especially in a marriage, then they will automatically lead but include. If they use the word include, they've got it made. and that's perfect. So that's a fantastic example. The next one would be the second house north node, the eighth house south node. Now, the second house on the in the north node, they say, spends a good deal of the current life energy on the darker side of life. Because it was from past incarnations that they had secrets, because it was the eighth house south node. The eighth house is sex, death, and secrets, rebirth, inheritance. From past incarnations, he has secrets which he now spends most of his time guarding carefully. His greatest difficulty is in attempting to lead a life which is beyond reproach, for his lower self is powerfully strong. He desires light, but with every step he takes toward it, the aching of his guilt-ridden subconscious blocks the road. He's had so much prior life experience behind closed doors where the eyes of open society fail to look. He is even accustomed to creating deceitful circumstances where there were none before. Actually, what he's really doing is testing the limits of other people's values. And while many may know him closely, no one knows him well. You all know somebody like this. I know it. Inside, he's highly nervous because he fears that others are unlocking his secret doors, because he knows that he's undermining nearly everything he touches. But he has the self-assurance to believe that everything is going to go well, no matter where his sometimes immoral adventures will continue to lead him. The reason he thinks that is because he hasn't established his own sense of values. He tries desperately to study the values of the other people, and in doing it, he inadvertently pushes others off their track. Therefore, he can be a threat to everything anyone else holds dear. In former incarnations, he destroyed a lot of his own system values, so that now he finds it difficult to understand why other people cherish the things they do. He doesn't have his own stake in his own life, so with nothing to lose, he feels free to claim the stakes of others. Usually, this is accomplished in such subtle fashion that it's extremely difficult to recognize. There is also a strong past life residue of sexual misuse. He has learned to think of his sexuality as his strength, using it as a foothold to gain possession of others. In the female, this is the story of Delilah, whose unusual sexual prowess lured the strongest of men from their appointed missions. In the male, much of the life energy is dissipated on sexual thoughts. He doesn't use it for power in the same sense, but for him, it is the reassurance that all is going well with his ego. The interesting thing is that sex is never the end or the means. In the give and take, it's the barter system. So we have to end here, guys, because we are at the end of our show. We didn't get to nearly half of it, but if you're interested, I can set something up with us in another session. Please stay tuned for our new show with Charlene Reeves, and I will see you next week on Growing Up Indigo with Adina Bannick on BBS Station 1. Love ya. Bye.